Radio Influence. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday Before Election Day edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Very Windy Val and
In Arizona Beans. What a day. It's the day before it happens. I can't believe we're sitting here right now.
Yeah, I can and can't at the same time. But I got a pit in my stomach, and I'm just ready to just do it.
It's crazy. I want to start the show off with a clip. Super important, actually. Tucker Carlson breaks it down for us. It's something else. Here.
I think you know Joe Biden's platform pretty well by now. Not that there's a platform, but he might ban fracking or he might not. You don't really know. At a rally in Michigan on Saturday, Biden muddied the waters for the very first time. He announced his support for something called Bhattacharya. In fact, he said it's a fundamental human right.
Brock and I think it's a right for people to have Bhattacharya.
Bhattacharya.
Got that? It's right for people to have Bhattacharya. And if you don't have Bhattacharya soon, Joe Biden will make sure that you do. That's his pledge to you. But giving every American Bhattacharya isn't easy. Joe Biden knows that. So he's going to mobilize a pressure campaign to get it done. What kind of campaign? To get Bhattacharya? Joe Biden has thought a lot about it. Here's his solution.
Look, I'll do what he's unable to do. I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
Joe Biden's going to do that. Donald Trump can't do that. Donald Trump can't even pronounce. But Joe Biden can. Listen again.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
Yeah, he'll lead an effective strategy to do that, whatever it is. Yeah. Essentially, don't know what the hell he's talking about. We know exactly who to turn to. Our expert on that subject, best-selling author Mark Stein. Mark Stein, thanks for joining us tonight. What does any of that mean? Do you know?
Bhattacharya is that gauge on the dashboard that you're never quite sure what it's for. Underperforming, but he is overperforming with 1992 Toyota Corollas, who have actually been his biggest audience at these so-called campaign appearances of him. So I think Bhattacharya is either a word in motor vehicleese, and I agree Trump has dropped the ball on Bhattacharya. He's got nothing to say about Bhattacharya.
We both knew that.
Oh, yeah, who am I, Tucker?
No, that's, yeah. Yeah.
You know what it almost sounded like? He says he wants to mobilize international depression.
That's exactly what he'll do.
I want to make sure that we are depressed internationally. I'm not talking about economically either. I just want everybody very sad.
It's a dark winter, Frank. It's a very dark winter.
Yeah, well, he tipped his cap on that one.
So I just published the last Ion Politics column for this campaign season. And I think we should just go through it real quick because it's pretty great.
Sure.
On Friday, the Des Moines Register threw a hand grenade into the entire polling industry. Widely acclaimed as the gold standard of polls, the Register had Trump winning Iowa by 7, right where the Register had him in 2016. The headlines blared that this was a harbinger in 2016 about other Midwestern states that Trump eventually won, including Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And none of the stories mentioned that in 2016, the Register was wrong. It was low. Trump won Iowa not by 7, but by 10. Suddenly over the weekend, many but not all of the other polls showed a rapidly tightening race. Politico, the official mouthpiece of the Democrat Party, screamed, "If Pennsylvania goes, so will the country." Overnight, liberal publications that had put Joe Biden so far ahead, Trump would need ships from the Space Force to catch him, warned that the race was close. In Florida, where Biden saw virtually any hope of taking the state slip away, the consultants were already sniping at each other for who lost Florida. The fact that Republicans actually led in-person early voting in both Palm Beach and Miami-Dade counties led to reports that the Biden campaign was worried. On Sunday, Rich Barris told me that in Wisconsin, his own polling might need to be readjusted because of the massive turnout in the red suburban counties around Milwaukee. And local Democrat operatives, for the first time, openly began to criticize the campaign strategy for the last several months of hyping the China virus and not sending out field organizers to knock on doors. As I've been insisting for months, says Larry, the strategy was haphazard and ill thought out. There was no way the Democrats could simultaneously tout the dangers of the China virus and still goose turnout on election day. The two were mutually exclusive. This strategy, as I've said all along, destroyed the college vote. Look at the latest from Wisconsin, where 18 to 29 year olds are only 3% of the vote. But this is highly misleading because the correct age group to evaluate here is 18 to 24, not 29. The 18 to 24 are the college students. If 18 to 29 are only 3%, the college group must almost be in negative numbers. But remember, this group needed to be way up, perhaps as high as 30% to the good by election day to offset the number of students not on campuses. This number portends a collapse of Democrat votes, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country. Then, right on cue, comes the final lockdown, with apologies to the band Europe. Gavin Newsom in California and Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan have tried to ensure that the Republicans cannot get to the polls with the new lockdown orders, but this is unlikely to work, especially with so many early votes. The numbers within the numbers of an electorate so far that is older, whiter, less college educated, and more male, combined with what appears to be a significant number of Black and Hispanics voting for President Trump, will likely reshape the existing numbers beyond all imagination. If this all transpires as I expect, the real battle is about to begin on November 4th. We will see violence and a new resistance that is the last writhing gasp of the deep state, the global elites, and the liberal foot soldiers before a serious coordinated Trump counterattack begins. Stories are already swirling that Trump plans to fire FBI Director Wray and CIA Director Haspel as soon as the election is over. This is not only desirable, but also critical if Trump hopes to achieve anything in office. But it won't be enough to just begin to take on some of these embedded deep staters. He must actually indict some of the worst culprits. And that won't be enough. Nothing less than a national butt kicking of the lockdown governors will suffice to get the U.S. back on its feet, for clearly these governors have no intention of easing up. The latest rounds of China virus hysteria pieces attest to that. The good news is that aside from rebuilding the economy, Trump can pretty much concentrate on doing little else but restoring the real American justice system after the election. In 2017, I told my readers that they could have Hillary Clinton in jail or they could have the Trump agenda. They couldn't have both. We got almost all of the Trump agenda, and now is the time to right the scales and end the two-tiered justice system in America. Ba-dum-bum.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I'm ready and waiting for all the shit that's coming after tomorrow.
It's going to be something, that's for sure. I'm here in Arizona getting ready to go over to the studio for a dress rehearsal today. We're going to do a dress rehearsal of our election night show tomorrow. You guys can watch the show. You can go to decisionusaonline.com. It'll be all over socials. It'll be all the view links will be on that page. And we're going to do a real election night broadcast. We've got our own data. We're going to be doing what all of those stupid cable networks are doing, minus the spin.
Gosh. Now I gotta wake up and do to vote first thing in the morning tomorrow. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna go down there, right? I mean, what happened in New York over the weekend? You went to a rally, right?
Oh, I was right in the middle of it. Yep.
Explain how that went.
Westchester, New York. We're talking miles, endless miles of cars. Now, this is in the rain. We were in the rain. It started in Tarrytown. It ended in the parking lot at Rye Playland, right there on the Long Island Sound. And it was just hundreds and hundreds of cars. And that did not account for the people that had broken off from the caravan on the way from Tarrytown to Playland. There are people who just went along for the ride and all that, and they didn't go into the actual parking lot. People on the overpasses to cheer the caravan on. There was easily a couple thousand people there with all the vendors and the speeches and the 18-wheelers and the Hummers and everybody just showing up. It was unbelievable. Every group, every demographic, everybody is was represented there having a good time. And it was the resistance was there as well. There was three Biden voters standing outside of the front of Playland with their Biden-Harris signs and one Black Lives Matter sign. They packed it up early and just went home because it was just so pathetic compared to this. But it's Westchester, New York, Tracy. That's the whole point here. And I know it was happening all over the state as well. This is Westchester. If Westchester had any, and if that is any indication of what people in my county are feeling right now, and how they are motivated to go out so much more than ever it was in 2016. And if there is any kind of impetus for people north of Putnam County to get on out, and if there's, and of course, if anybody down the city, there's been exodus down the city. We already know that from the primaries, over 100,000 votes were lost from just general inefficiency down the city with the mail-in crap. I mean, if New York turns out, there is a chance it can go red. I mean, there's a chance.
Look, the thing I keep saying about New York is it's always decided by New York City. Always. If even a quarter of New York City changes their mind, can you imagine if Hillary Clinton as an elector has to...
has to go cast a vote for Trump?
Hold on.
You think she'll go faithless?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Hold on one second. I had footage from a friend in Holbrook who like all of a sudden looked out her window and saw this ridiculously massive line of cars that went on for hours through Holbrook, Long Island. I mean, through Holbrook and Suffolk County, all throughout Nassau and Suffolk County. And last, I think in 2016, Suffolk County went red for Donald Trump. That bodes really well for Lee Zeldin, by the way. And just seeing this, I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like this before. And I could speak to it, as you can, because we're in New York. We grew up, well, I was. Grew up in New York. Know how it is around election time. It's not like this. It's just not.
No, it's not.
Something else.
And I'm just, I just wonder about what it would have been like if it was a clear day. Because the turnout for this crappy, damp, rainy day was... It was very inspiring. It was very inspiring. There was only good vibes there, only good vibes. And walking around, the biggest thing that hit me is that this is not something that could be suppressed by an election. This is not the kind of spirit that could be suppressed by an election. It might be slightly validated by an election, but then again, who even knows what kind of election results we're going to get? If Trump wins, I have to just always at this point assume that the margin was so much larger in reality than whatever the hell it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's number one. The margin of victory is going to be so much larger than whatever the hell it's declared to be. But it just doesn't matter because these are people who just don't, they don't care about the polls. They don't care. The media is a joke to them. And they're just having a good time. They're completely in the moment. And it's it really is. Man, oh man, we're never going to see another man like this become president again, ever again.
I don't see how. I mean, if there is another, God bless us, if there is another man like this that becomes president again, you know? I mean, this is the way it's supposed to be. So many, I was looking at the Electoral College map for Reagan in 84, and I was like, there's a possibility that we could see that. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in California, but just yesterday in Los Angeles, There was a massive thousands and thousands of people marching through the streets with their Trump flags. Like, have you ever seen that in California in recent memory? Ever?
No, but that's the whole point. Because even if they are still a minority in California, let's say that they are still a minority in California. I happen to believe that states like New York and California have created political climates and institutions that are set up to dwarf the pro-America vote and make them seem like they are in a minority. Therefore, they should never try to speak up again. Even if they are still outnumbered out there, the fact that people are no longer afraid to say, oh, we're here.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah.
And that is the most important thing. The most important thing.
They woke up. They woke up the people. I mean, I've never seen a more engaged electorate before. I mean, everybody, and they see through all the BS. And it just makes me so happy. I did a thread over the weekend. I'm going to just explain it because there's no, I don't know if this has happened to you, Frank, but I know it's happened to a lot of people. I was just getting out of my car to go into CVS and a certain song came on the radio. And it just, all of a sudden, like a wave came over me of just how important this is. Like, I was just like blown, like all of a sudden, like, whoa. We have worked for 4 years to try to make things right again. And Tuesday, tomorrow, I mean, I really think I'm like probably one of the minority that thinks we'll be able to call this thing tomorrow. I think that the in-person turnout is going to be so great that even if there are like a million votes somewhere not counted yet, that the swing won't matter if all those votes went for one. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
they'll count them, of course, but they're not going to be able to find more votes because the turnout will be so large. And I did this thread and I just kind of said, like, don't be scared. Like, we're in the midst of something absolutely beautiful right now. If I could, I would have begged for this many people to be awake and alert 10 years ago. Holy moly.
Yep.
It's a beautiful thing. And it was nice because General Flynn retweeted it too.
Yeah, I've been seeing him. He's been really on top of a lot of things that are, I think, are of great importance, especially that the latest from Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano.
Oh yes, what a letter! Do you have that handy by chance?
Yeah.
We need to read some of that. I think
it's 4 pages. It'll take a little while, but you know, I can send you the link if you want.
I got it here. Actually, I found it. We'll start here. We'll just do a little. A global plan called the Great Reset is underway. Its architect is a global elite that wants to subdue all of humanity, imposing coercive measures with which to drastically limit individual freedoms and those of the entire population. In several nations, this plan has already been approved and financed. In others, it is still in an early stage. Behind the world leaders who are the accomplices and executors of this infernal project, there are unscrupulous characters who finance the World Economic Forum and Event 201 promoting their agenda. Wow. I mean,
he's been killing it all year, but also all presidency. This guy is following everything that he does very, very closely. And in fact, most of my show tonight is going to be on him to get ourselves all spiritually prepared and walking into tomorrow.
It's such a monumental day. Like Wednesday morning, Frank, we're going to be doing a show and I don't know what we're going to be doing on the show yet, but it's going to be probably one of our most energized. Do you see a President Trump loss?
I can't say. I'm always torn between there is no way that he's losing but we got to wait and see what tricks have been. And here, let me just say this, that if he does lose, it's completely he and the Republicans' fault, because for 4 years, they knew there was going to be no loss in 2020 that wasn't going to come at the hands of fraud. So I'm just praying still that all the questions we have that don't have answers about, hey, have you done anything to combat the voter fraud in here and here and here? I'm just hoping that all the answers to those questions that keep me up at night sometimes have been answered long ago and they're just being held close to the chest. Because they know, Donald Trump knew from the very next day after the 2016 election that 2020 is going, they have to have something that is going to counteract fraud. It's going to be the only thing. So because once Donald Trump is a known quantity, and he's able to – he can't be ignored. If he loses the election in 2016, doesn't matter what the hell he says on his Twitter account.
Yep.
He's summarily ignored.
Yep.
Okay? And if he says something that people don't like, then Jack can take him off. Because why? Because he's not the president. It's not of national importance, whatever he says. That's the only thing that has kept him on Twitter, the fact that he's the president of the United States.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he knew that. So when I think about tomorrow, I think there is no way in reality, in an untouched reality, that Donald Trump loses this election. No way in hell, because the enthusiasm gauge is off the charts compared to even 2016. Joe Biden has no enthusiasm behind him. None.
Even Barack Obama couldn't even bring out people. They're done.
He can't do it because Barack Obama has suffered greatly. There's so many people, especially in those minority demographics, black, Hispanic people, who have completely had the cold water thrown in their face on what Barack Obama actually represented and what he brought to the table. They are with no star power. That I don't know if you listened to that awful song that Cher put together. What the hell? Did you hear that song?
No.
This is the most embarrassing thing that happened all year, in a year full of embarrassment. And they think that Cher still had some kind of pull. Well, Bon Jovi doing
and Lady Gaga with her beer crushing can. Like, what the was that?
They have nothing. So let me tell you. This has nothing to do. Joe Biden's lack of enthusiasm behind him has nothing to do with COVID-19. Nothing. They are dead in the water. So if there is any inroads made to the White House, if the gap, the Electoral College gap that was there between he and Hillary Clinton is even in any way, shape or form, lessened, if that margin is lessened, it is only because of fraud. Only. And nothing else.
It's a pretty interesting, place to be. Rasmussen has support of the president from African Americans at around 30% of likely voters. 30% of African American polled are voting for Trump. 30%. It's higher for Hispanic voters. Hispanic likely voters are around 40-45%. Those are the only two demos that the Democrats ever had solidly to rely on, and they are gone. There is no way they can win an election without at least that 30% of the African American vote. And they're not, the turnout is down. I'm hearing that everywhere. Turnout is down for them. And
yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, if you're analyzing the way that a lot of this analyzing is being done, or the analytics are being composed, is early vote by mail, right? They know which people from which party requested vote by mail or absentee. So they assume okay, Democrat A asked for a vote. Now Democrat A returned it. It's back in. But they assume that all of the Republicans voted for Trump and all of the Democrats voted for Biden. And there's going to be some toss up there. You know, every D vote that comes back is not going to be for Joe Biden, and every Republican vote that comes back obviously won't be for President Trump. I'm sure it'll be, close to 100%, because there aren't many Bill Kristol Republicans left out there. There just aren't.
No. And to tack on to that, I would say that, you brought it up before in the opening, the college vote. The fact that they had to gamble with COVID-19 locking down the entire country, trying to sell the merits of mail-in voting, which did not go over well. Ultimately, they're not even talking about the USPS anymore. They're not even talking about the post service. You remember that was the only thing that people spoke about for 3 weeks in July?
Yep.
Okay,
they screwed themselves.
Yeah, well, they had no other choice. I keep saying, they are fundamentally stupid people. But on the other hand, the hand that they've been dealt, or the hand that they've been left with, is a very bad one. They don't have very many good cards to play. So they try to play the best cards they can play at the best times, and it still leaves them with shitty outcomes. So you have the college vote that is down, that was such a huge thing in their favor, because you have all these socialist professors bludgeoning children over the head to go out and vote, and they'll get a half letter grade increase on their final scores. The other thing is this, too. I really do believe that even the desperation vote, I know that there's people that are desperate to see Donald Trump leave for one assigned reason or another. I know that the desperation vote is very real, but how much of that vote is even neutralized by A, the red pill vote, people who have completely been woken up by this stuff, and B, the walkaway vote, which I guess is the same thing. Red pill, walkaway vote. I think that completely neutralizes, at least in a major part, the desperation vote. So where the hell are they going for any kind of an edge aside from the projection on the media?
Yeah.
And even they are walking it back now.
Well, they have to because they know. And the only way they're going to maintain any sense of credibility with a populace who is so awake to their BS. Because remember, in 2016, the reason that Brendan walked away in the first place was because the media had lied to him so badly about Hillary Clinton winning the election. How many people are going to do that very same thing in 2020, the ones who are left? And one thing I want to say, and I got a little scolded by a few folks from doing this yesterday. Dr. Borsenko, Dr. Carlin, we had her on the show. She walked away. She goes around with Brennan now and everything, said, what if Tulsi Gabbard turns Republican in 2024? Smiley face, smiley face. Everybody needs to understand something. We are happy to have everybody come around to the side of truth and justice. That does not mean that you are all conservatives. At this juncture right here, in this point in time, we know that President Trump is the best thing for the country. A vote for him is a vote for you. However, we should be very careful not to lose conservatism to this moderate leftist sort of a bent. You know what I mean? That'll be just one more thing that freaking the left has hijacked from us. We have values. We have values that are very strong. We need to stick by those. We cannot let the party, because the Republican Party is completely gone. Who knows what it is anymore? We have to just make sure we stick to conservative values and explain to the new folks why they're important and try and nurture them along to understand that and not let ourselves turn into some, you know, very moderate leftist sort of a party, right?
Yep.
I'm worried about that, and it's time to start talking about it now, because with all
that's what we are until we really, and I mean, we're not, when you look at the Republican vote, which is what a lot of conservative constitutional people are just saying, okay, I will vote Republican because there's a little bit more overlap there for me than other places. But we're not talking about real conservatism yet. But we're walking in that direction, and you can't lose control of it now.
Yeah.
For example, I mean, Tulsi Gabbard. I would love to see a world where someone like Tulsi Gabbard, who is a socialist through and through when it comes to what she thinks should be implemented, healthcare wise, social justice, everything else. Fine, just be a socialist in your home state of Hawaii. Just be a socialist out there. But if when it comes to your role in the federal government, I mean, go and work for the Hawaii state government and do whatever the hell you want with whatever funds that you can generate on your island chain. But when you come to work for the federal government, you need to be an ardent Jeffersonian. You know, Thomas Jefferson actually had some ideas about state-run education and providing it for all. But, I mean, which would make libertarians go, what the hell? But I mean, you can have that. People need to understand you can have those notions alive in your heart and try to strive for them as long as you're doing it on your state level. If Tulsi Gabbard could ever bring herself to come work on the federal level and think of nothing but the Constitution and say, listen, as much as I love these ideas, what works for Hawaii won't work for Rhode Island. What works for Rhode Island won't work for Maine, for New York, for Colorado, for Wyoming. As long as they could understand that and grasp that, we're going to become such a more healthy country. And the other thing that is going to go away is every 4 years, us teetering on the brink.
Yeah.
Because if we survive tomorrow, what? We're not going to have the same. This is the biggest election of our lifetime in 2024. We can't do this every 4 years.
No, we can't. We can't. And you're right. And you know, the worst part, we need, like, that's why it needs to be. Can you imagine if they retain the House? I mean, it'll just be a shit show all 4 years. We need to blow them out, like blow them out to the point where, and I'm telling you now, I'm going to say it again. You Republicans who get elected to the House and Senate have 1 year to show us that you're doing the right thing. And I swear we will primary you and we will win. I am so sick of getting control of the House and the Senate and then no agenda gets initiated because these people are spineless losers.
Yep.
Do something about the big tech monopolies that is legal and underneath. Make them, you know, Section 230 go away for them. Do something. Stop just yelling about it in hearings. We see through your nonsense. People are wise to it now, Ted Cruz. Do something.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
And yeah, now is the time to talk about this because we're going to deliver them a win tomorrow. And when we do, they had better do the right thing with it. Speaking of people waking up, Frank, Oliver Stone, did you see this morning?
Yeah.
Oliver Stone says this crucial story from, I don't know who the flautist is, Patrick Lawrence. This crucial story from Patrick Lawrence, first reported in 2017. In it lies the foundation for Russiagate narrative. It's clear the Democratic MSM continue to promote false narrative. This is the primary reason Glenn Greenwald resigned from The Intercept. Glenn Greenwald and I don't support the Republicans, but we're sick and tired of the irrational censorship going on in America. This sordid affair is groundbreaking. Never before has there been this kind of four-year marriage of Democrat Party to the intelligence agencies. Glad to be back in the USA in this crazy energy at this crazy moment when the world seems to be topsy-turvy, but really isn't. We live in exciting times, and Tuesday election day will be one of those times. Here we go, another spin of the wheel. We're all gamblers in this life. Wow.
Oliver Stone. The untold history. You know, I mean, it's I don't know, man. It's true. It's very, very true. And if there was free speech, could the Democrat Party actually exist?
No. Their ideas.
That's the whole point.
No.
If there was free speech and if there wasn't this rampant censorship, could the Democrat Party and the controlling factor that drives it, the global factor that drives it. Remember what we're looking through right now, what we're hanging out with right now, is not a an American issue. This is just the American front on a global war. The Vigano letter is everything.
Yep.
The Vigano letter from June is everything. This is the American front on a global war. Censorship is the only way it's able to succeed, because anybody that follows any of these ideas to its logical conclusion understands it is bunk, it is tyrannical, it is anti-human, anti-life. It's there.
We were at a precipice in 2016. We're at a precipice in 2020, where I think that a lot more people understand it. And it's been 4 years of hammering information after information, letting people, I mean, they are frantic at this point. And again, it was always about globalism. It was always about turning America into just one part of another globalist machine. This was never a conspiracy theory. Everybody assumed this was always like the New World Order. Yeah, okay. Welcome to the club, people. We're glad you're here. We've been here waiting for you for quite a while. Now learn what's going on and yeah. Stop it, because there's no.
Well, yeah, seriously. What do you want to call it? Okay, you don't like is New World Order too hackneyed for you? What do you want to call it? Let's make a new name, because it's the same damn thing. It's real.
Clearly. I had so many people comment on that status update that said, I'm here in Australia. You have no idea how important this election is for us.
They understand for certain.
And
I'd love to see New Jersey go red.
Oh, Lord. People were talking about that.
I'd love to see New Jersey go red.
I want the whole freaking country to be red. I want to see.
God.
I want to see the crying. These people deserve it. They deserve it. The nasty ones. You know, the nasty
yep.
ones. I'm sorry. I can't help myself, all right? We tried. We tried to be nice. We tried to teach you. We tried to bring you along. Just to let you know, the FBI is doing a solid for the country, Frank. They're investigating the alleged harassment of the Biden campaign bus by vehicles flying Trump flags.
Oh, good.
Thank goodness for that. I mean, you know, there's nothing else going on like one of the presidential candidates trying to attempt to sell us out to communist China or anything.
No, nothing. No, we're fine.
Make sure you get all the white supremacists and the Trump-waving, you know, people following the Biden bus. Don't worry about those Antifa idiots planning all the unrest in D.C. so bad that people need to board up their stores the day before Election Day. You know, some lefty actually said, you see what you people have done to this country? Do you see what you've done? What we've done? This is...
Yeah.
When conservatives celebrated Trump's election 4 years ago, did they know that in 2020 we would board up shops, prepare for riots and the arrival of militias, game out ways he might steal the election, protest aggressive vote suppression? This is what he has done to America.
Who said that?
Ann Applebaum at The Atlantic.
Oh, well, that's a name.
Yeah.
That's a name if I've ever heard one.
I said, this is what you have done to America. A bunch of savages who act like petulant children. I'm thankful because at least we've learned who you really are. Somebody the other day tried to claim that because people were standing outside in Florida in the rain, it was Republican voter suppression.
How is that possible?
We control the weather? I don't know. I don't know.
This is what you've done to America.
Look what you've done.
You forced. I mean, you've left us no choice but to riot. You know, if it weren't for you, if it weren't for you, we wouldn't have to act like this, and people wouldn't have to board up their businesses in fear of us. If it weren't for you, you made us do this.
It's all your fault. It's all your fault.
What a crazy bitch.
Ridiculous.
In fact, I'm going to tell her as much. LOL, crazy bitch. That's what I just told.
If you'd like a throat punch for this one.
Yeah, if you want to go, find Ann Applebaum's tweet from November 1st at 4:34 p.m. and like my tweet in response. LOL, crazy bitch. and help us get her attention. If I get blocked by the end of the day, then I'll feel good about myself. Okay. Yep. What else?
So voter suppression. Governor Whitmer is tightening coronavirus restrictions the day before the election.
Imagine that.
Yeah. All dine-in establishments must take down.
Yeah, this is what Donald Trump has done to America.
Yeah. All.
More.
Yep. Contact tracing at restaurants. Civil fine of $1,000. Her own legislature like has basically stopped listening to anything that she says. She needs to go, man. Don't shout or cheer at social events either, because you know.
Oh, have you seen the California Thanksgiving and Christmas statutes?
They can kiss my ass.
No, you have no clue how bad it gets.
Did you see what Cuomo? You tell me about those, and then I'll tell you about what Cuomo's doing. I'm sure you know what Cuomo's doing.
Hold on.
So Cuomo, I'll talk about Cuomo first. If you fly in from another state into New York, I doubt they can enforce this with driving. You're going to have to show them a negative COVID test from within the last 3 days. And then you're going to have to quarantine yourself for another 3 days and get another coronavirus test before you can leave where you're supposed to be staying at. He's out of his mind if he thinks people are going to do this crap.
The thing that's getting me is that across the board, what people are being, no matter how bad, how crazy they take these rules and regulations and all that stuff, they want everybody now, businesses, homes, whoever walks through the door of your establishment or your household, you need to take down their name and their contact information. That's the bigger thing there. I can't find it, but
well, let's jump over to Drudge Report for a minute, Frank.
Okay, great. Let's see. Oh geez.
Here we go. Start it off.
Start at the top left?
Yeah.
The final countdown. Poll, Biden leaves by 7 in Pennsylvania. Report, Cruz building non-scalable fence to secure White House. Eclipse in Lafayette Square developing. Yeah, like all because of Trump. If Trump wins, he's going to invade the White House. Trump focuses on his base. Yeah, Trump focuses on his base, has a 5% chance of victory, or now 10% chance, may just keep campaigning after Election Day, uses online gimmick to fuel donations into online gimmick. Joe Biden was selling fly swatters 3 weeks ago. He was selling fly swatters a few weeks ago. This old campaign strands. Rally goers in cold for a third time. No, the whole point is that there are rally goers to be stranded.
Listen to this, though. I opened up the Monmouth Biden leads by 7.
Yeah.
They stopped linking the methodology to the actual poll in the articles, so you can't find it to see how they're oversampling and all that nonsense. But this is Biden leads by 7 points in Pennsylvania. Listen to this. A new poll finds Democratic President Joe Biden leading President Trump by 7 points among likely voters in Pennsylvania. The final Monmouth University survey finds Biden at 51% and Trump at 44% among likely voters in a high turnout scenario. That's down from Biden's 11-point lead in the same poll from last month. But listen, in a low turnout scenario, it shrinks to 5. Biden leads by 4.8 points in the 538 average of Pennsylvania. Biden leads by 40 points in counties Hillary Clinton carried by about 35 points in 2016. Trump leads by 20 points in the counties he won easily in 2016. But listen to this. In the 10 swing counties that were closest in 2016, Trump leads 49-45. How is Biden carrying Pennsylvania by 11, or what did they say?
7.
7, if Trump is winning in the swing counties.
And why do they keep hammering that Texas is very close?
Because Texas is literally the home for their voter fraud operation.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Veritas, for showing it. You get 6, just 6, half a dozen of those crazy bitches are out there that were out there collecting votes that you can see. In Veritas, that one woman, countless thousands of votes that she had in her hand.
Mommy needs a new Chanel bag, baby.
Yep.
Fucking ridiculous.
You imagine just having a half a dozen women like her running all over the key districts? Of course, you can turn anything blue if you got that going on. My God.
The poll that they just did was 502 registered voters and has a 4-point margin of error. Here it is. I found the Monmouth poll. Let's take a look at this. Who are they? Who are they polling? You know, compared to past elections, are you more enthusiastic than usual, less or about the same? 51% are more enthusiastic.
Florida, final poll by Scott Rasmussen, Biden 51, Trump 47. That can't be the whole story.
No. Here.
Matt Drudge is really talk about selling your soul.
Yeah, we're going to find out who he sold his soul to very soon.
About selling your soul. And I heard that it's like NBA ratings over here on the Drudge Report as far as people who don't go there anymore, because you're not getting a good collection of anything.
No,
you're not. And it's not, oh, why? Because you're not seeing what you want to see. No, because it's so obviously slanted. This slanted table. This is ridiculous.
I'm still looking through this poll.
It has been nothing but Trump doom since 2018.
Yeah, I mean, in the 18-4, this doesn't make any sense. Their poll doesn't make any sense. I'm just looking all the way down at the bottom to see how many more Democrats they asked, and they're not even including it anymore.
Prince William on COVID, royal battled virus in April, was struggled to breathe, but kept it a secret not to alarm the nation. Maybe because you're 38 years old. I had COVID.
Here's the sample. Republicans 173, Independents 136, Democrats 188, Moderates 201, Conservatives 150, Liberals 123. 18 to 49 year olds, 222 of those. Let's see. Yeah, I don't.
Black, Maxine Waters.
Did you see her?
She rips black Trump supporters. Says, "I'll never forget them. I'll never forgive them. It's unconscionable." So, black Trump supporters, you're not going to ever get the forgiveness of Maxine Waters, who lives like a queen. Lives like a queen outside of her shitty district.
Yeah, it's something else. We you know. Listen, everybody knows what they have to do, okay? Everybody needs to get up, go out, vote, and then just sit back and watch the returns come in, like I'm going to be doing. It's going to be weird, by the way, broadcasting for 8 hours straight.
Yeah.
I hope I get potty breaks. Sometimes I have to take them in the middle of the show, Frank.
I know. No, 8 hours is a lot. It really is. The bigger thing is vocal conditioning. That's the bigger thing.
Oh.
Because by 4 or 5 hours is when the frog shows up.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, vocal conditioning is, it's got to be easy, light teas, lemons, honeys, and it's serious. Because I've done 5, 6, 7 hour streams before, and by the end it's just you feel it's almost like having the floor mushy. You feel like you're gonna fall right through the floor.
Well, that doesn't sound fun. Like.
Yeah, well, your throat needs support, and after it's pretty much like a muscle. You can fatigue it.
Yeah, I know that. So after a while, singer. So you know. Yeah, it depends on where you're talking in your voice too.
That's why for me, I mean, I'll be live until midnight. I'm going to go 7 to midnight again, and I'm just making sure that I have a nice, nice lineup of people coming on that can speak their mind and give me some rest and chill.
That's going to be fun.
It's all I'm going to do is stay home, knit a sweater.
Well, knitting is nice. Knitting is fun. I have a clip we'll end with today from Scranton. Scranton, I guess. I don't know which Scranton he's talking about, but. And 100.
PA?
Maybe. I'm going to find it real quick and play it for everybody. I think they're singing. That's what I think. And off we go here.
Oh, Rich was just on with Steve Bannon?
Oh, I guess so. Here. That's what I'm talking about.
Yep. Hey, you know what? Not for nothing. Back to that crazy ass Ann Applebaum. She was in Lee Smith points her out. She was one of the media allies for the whole Russian coup. No,
I've never heard her name before.
I thought that she was in the book Plot Against the President.
She might have been.
I think that she was one of those early. Those early helpers.
Well, she's with the Atlantic, so wouldn't be surprised.
God, I can't stand. I know people like her. I know people like her. They just feel so good. They've got followers. They write. They think for it. People want to know what I think. People love to know what I think about things. And I end every night with a nice cup of tea curled up on my couch, my love seat all by myself with my cat. I love my life. I'm Ann Applebaum. I hate you.
I know. It's really sad.
I hate all of the Ann Applebaums of the world.
Me too. They all look the same. Do you ever notice that?
Yeah.
They all have the same look. You know why they have the same look? It comes from their soul. Just or lack thereof.
Drip with privilege. They always want to be, it's just always, you know, drip with it. They just drip. I know some people who just like dressing well and all that, but they just are awful. I hate their smiles. I'm in complete control. I smile. I have a good idea of what I'm good. I'm a good person. Are you? I'm a good person. Are you? I hate you, Anne. I hate you. Do you hear me? I don't know you, but I hate you, Anne.
Oh, goodness. So there's some stuff going on with this. I'm not even going to talk about it yet. Haven't had a chance to listen to it. But that's it. We're done. We're done for today.
Okay.
You have been listening to the day before the 2020 election episode of the Dark to Light podcast. Can you believe that? With...
I know. Very windy, Val. And...
I am in Arizona Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. On Wednesday morning, we will be back. Do what you got to do, guys. Get on out there and vote.
Later.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.